You said something that is so key to what we're going to be looking at this morning. And it's a revelation. We dealt with a little bit last week. A revelation of the love of God. For those of you that are not with us, I'm doing something that I don't normally do. And I better put this mic down. What am I doing? I got a mic on. Let me turn this off. No wonder you're laughing at me. I am too. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. We've been, I've been going through somewhat expositionally, verse by verse, through the book of Ephesians. I would encourage you through the week to open up your Bible, work your way through this book slowly, enjoy each and every verse, talk to Holy Spirit, let Him reveal things that you're not going to hear in here. This book here delivers a power punch against the enemy and a power charge for those who take its truths. And I want us to look together, if you would, at chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. I don't remember exactly where we left off last week, went into a little different area. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. And to me who am less than the least of all the saints." And as we move forward over the next few weeks into Ephesians 4, we begin to see God's plan for the family of God. I realize that the mere mention of the family of God sends a lot of believers running. Their experiences in family, and especially in church family, have not been good. And the minute they hear that, they hear abuse. And I want to encourage you today, we're going to stick with the Word. We're going to stick with Jesus' plan. We're not into that sort of thing. I am not your Jesus. I don't want to run your life. Are you with me? Are you here today? But how many know there is a place for understanding God-given authority in the church and the gifts that are represented there? And if we will yield to those gifts, not to the individual. I do not tell you who to marry, what job to work. Yet I don't demand a yes, sir, no, sir from you. That's not my place. When I hear that, that smacks of something else. I think I dealt with that a couple of weeks ago. Something's off. But my job is to feed the sheep, not beat the sheep. My job is to feed the sheep. And in that process, together, as we unveil Jesus, I believe that more that we see who Jesus is, the more the love of the Father. That's why He came. Where did we miss that? The reason He came was to reveal the Father and the love of the Father. John, we quote this verse as if it's nothing but an evangelistic tool. I want you to hear the revelation of John 3:16. For God, it was His idea. He wasn't known as Father by Israel. For God so loved the whole world that it was in His heart and mind. It was His desire to buy back, to redeem, to save from sin man who was now captive by the enemy, to bring them back. For God so loved, never forget that. He so loved the world that hated Him, that spoke against Him. He, in that time, loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world, verse 17 says, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. How many are glad for that this morning? Three of you. How many are glad for that this morning? Come on, let's worship a little bit, can we? Drop your Bible in your lap. Jesus, we honor You today. We thank You once again for such great salvation. You didn't make it hard, You made it so easy. Paul put it this way, if we confess with our mouth, the heart belief that You are the Son of God, proven in this, that You're raised from the dead, that's all it takes. The Bible says that when we pray that prayer, He makes us a new creature. the miracle of the new birth. The nature of God comes to live on the inside of us. And our journey from then until we go home is to submit to the leading of His Spirit, that the outward man would be formed on a daily basis to look and behave more and more like Him, so that others may know that this which we preach, this which we pray, this which we live in is real enough that if they'll believe too, their life will be changed. For God so loved the world, there it is again, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. How many are glad this morning for everlasting life? What about the rest of you? Let's have an altar call. The musicians would make their way to... Hallelujah. I'm glad for eternal life today. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I love what Paul says here, because as he begins to establish Holy Ghost order, not law, but Holy Ghost order, saying now under this new covenant, there is a way now to function in this, that all that God has intended for you will be fulfilled. He begins to name leadership in the church, their purpose. He begins to name the purpose of the body, how they're to function together. He goes into the home, speaks to the husband and to the wife. He speaks to the children, bringing back promises of old that still stand under a new covenant. Because His heart was always the same. Even though now we are under and in a new law, not under, but live in a new law. I was sharing that with somebody this last week. I quoted in here all the time, Romans 8:2, which says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free now from that other law. He lives within the Spirit of truth, and He leads me and guides me into all truth." This is what He promised He would do. How many know when He lives within? If we're listening. Amen. There's a lot I could say about that, but we're going to move forward. So I love what Paul says as he's establishing order. He says something that is key. I wish I heard this out of the mouths of more big names in the church today. He says, one more time, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me who am less than the least." Boy, there's an incredible attitude. We could see, I'd like to see more. God help me. "Am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus." Verse 10, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." He'll elaborate on that a lot in chapter 6 when we get there. He's opening some things up. "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you don't hear anything else in here today, especially if you're new, I want you to look at verse 12. Religion will tell you something else, but here I want you to know a revelation of the love of God, a revelation of Jesus' love for you is so key. Look at what He says here. In whom? How'd you get in Jesus? Paul said, "The same way that you received Him, so walk ye in Him." The same way that you came into Jesus, this is how you walk every day. How did you come into Jesus? You made a profession of faith out of a heart belief that what He did was enough. That He was who He said He was. And you took that salvation. How many know that took? People say we don't preach repentance, those of us who preach grace. Let me tell you what repentance is. My concept of truth was blown away by God-given truth. And when it hit me between the eyes, the love of God, and I saw a whole new truth, I switched directions, not because I was forced, but because I saw the love of God for me, John 3:16. I saw a whole new and living way. My heart yielded to what He was doing, and I did an about face and began to say, Lord, teach me how to live. That's repentance. Nobody can come to God on their own terms. How many remember the day you got saved? The Holy Ghost revealed in you your need for a Savior, showed you that you were a sinner. Last week we talked about the law. That is a mirror. It shows us undone. But I'm so glad to stand here and proclaim every Sunday that although the law served its purpose as a mirror to reveal to me my brokenness and my need and my inability to ever be able to live up to it. You know, there are still groups of people that believe that if you get sanctified or you get this special touch or special anointing, that somehow you will be able to live above sin and failure. I'm here to tell you there's only one who is that perfect. And it's my faith in His perfection that caused Him to come and live inside an imperfect vessel. The real man in me, though, became one with Him by faith. This is what Scripture, it better be that way. How else could He live inside the believer? I was raised in old-time holiness. Most of you in here that have been with us for a number of years have heard this before, but I remember very sincere people in old-time camp meetings when I was a boy, a man standing up and saying, I'm so glad to say, and I mean, he was a man who loved the Lord. He's going to be in heaven with us. I'm not picking on him, but it's funny how bad doctrine. Young people couldn't live up to that standard. We lost almost all of our young people in that denomination, all over the place. They couldn't live up to the perfection that was demanded. He stood and he actually said this. He said, I thank God. We used to have testimony services, which are not bad, by the way. He said, I want to thank God today that I'm saved and sanctified. Now, nigh unto 40 years, the Lord has helped me by His grace to live without sin. 13-year-old boy sitting there, you're like, wow. There's no hope. What in the world? What he didn't understand was, is when you are a legalist, you're only thinking of sins of commission. There's no understanding of this new walk in the Spirit in which there's a new law put inside me. It's actually the presence of God by His Holy Spirit that leads me in truth. And how many have had promptings of the Spirit when out of fear or ignorance or just too busy, He was prompting you to speak or to go, and you pushed Him aside. Later, you paid a price for that. God didn't extract a price. The price has already been fully paid in Jesus. But how many know that when we push Him away, we go on our own, and that can be painful? He's still in there. In fact, Romans 8 says that when I'm weak, when I'm struggling, in this new man, He doesn't vacate. He takes together all the tighter and prays for me in that weakness. But how many know that when we push His voice aside, the new law, now written on fleshy tables of the heart, how many know that sin hurts? And there is a consequence for it. That's why the Word of God lays out a way. He says, I'm going to take care of the main thing first. Let my Son pay the price, final, in its totality. Let my work happen on the inside. Let my Spirit be found within man. And then I give my Word to show them how to walk in it. And this little book lays that out as Paul begins to establish these things. But I love how there's just this reminder by the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go to a place where there's hierarchy. I watched it years ago in denominational ranks where people work their way up the ladder. And after a while, a man who started out as a humble servant of God maybe as a youth pastor, a children's worker, worked his way up through and God promoted him. But after a while, because of the system of men, forgot their beginnings, forgot how they got into this, began to think of themselves more highly than they are. You know, that's not just with preachers. That's with any one of us. As we realize that every day, Paul said, my sufficiency, my dependency is of him. And he lays this down. I love how Paul, one of the greatest, not one of the greatest missionary that ever lived, the man who ultimately gave his life for the cause, here says of himself, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the world hath hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. To the intent, and I know I'm reading back through where we've been just once more, to the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God has wisdom for you to deal with the unseen. We'll see that in 6. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Here we go again. This is where we left off. Look at this one little verse, verse 12. In whom? I'm asking you, in who? Jesus. How'd you get in? By faith. How do you live every day? By faith. In whom we have boldness and access. If you don't hear anything else today, John, the day we sat in there in that men's group and that profession of faith, I don't care what you've been through. Today he sees, and I'm not picking on you, John, I'm saying, I'm making it personal for all of us. From that day forward, he says we have the reason to be bold because we have access. I'm here glad for Jesus today. Access. Listen to what he says. In whom we have boldness and access. And if you didn't get it, let's just add another layer. With confidence. Let's read that out loud together, shall we? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. I ask this question all the time. Get ready. By whose faith? I thought it was your faith. You do this by, this is what we've been told for years. Pastor, I need you to pray that I have more faith. When you receive Jesus, his faith, in fact, he delivered the faith to you. Read Romans 10:17. We quote it as believers because there's still a truth there, but we quote it out of context. The context of Romans 10, great salvation chapter, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We quote it as believers, as every day in here like this, receiving the word of God and it increasing our ability to exercise the faith we've received. But that's really not the context. The context is that faith to believe in salvation comes from God by the hearing of the word of God. This is why Jesus, in his ministry for 3.5 years, he did a lot of miracles. But scripture states that they marveled with the authority with which he spake. He preached and preached and preached and preached and preached. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everything is changing. I have been sent. It's what got him killed. Of course, we know he didn't get killed. He gave his life up freely. I want you to look at this verse one more time. In whom? In who? How'd you get in there? By faith. Whose faith? His faith delivered to you. I'm going to quote it one more time. I think I quote it every service. Somebody said to me one time, how come you always quote some of the same verses? Because I'm trying to get it past that bone that's about that thick. and me. You thought I was talking about you, didn't you? You thought I was talking about you. Shame on you for judging me like that. Okay, here we go. Can you say shame on you in a grace church? Yeah, I did. Okay, so here we go. So at any rate, here's what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. You ought to be able to quote this with me by now. My God, I quote it almost every week. Come on, help me out, John and Leanna. I was with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by my own faith as I trust Him with new information. No, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself along with the package of faith. Romans 12 said He's given to every man the, it's what it says in the Greek. The Amplified says a, that's wrong. The Amplified is off. It is the. Every man got the same kind of faith, the faith of Jesus. It's deposited in you. When are we going to dare to believe what He says, stand, speak it forth, and begin to walk? And how many know the devil's not going to like that? He's going to try you. If you're not being tried, if you're not facing some struggles, if you're not getting some opposition, you're probably not standing. Last thing I want to do is be floating down a river when I don't know what's around the bend. Stand. Having done all to stand, we're going to get to that in a minute. You getting anything out of this? In whom we have boldness. Let's read it out loud one more time. In whom? In who? In whom? Read it together. We have boldness. Who is it that said, I think it's Mark Hankins. He said, you get this word on the inside of you. He said, it'll make you swing out over hell with a, what did he say? With a water pistol. Challenge, I don't remember. I just blew probably the way he says it. But anyway, boldness, huh? Oh, yeah. Boldness. Father, thank you for boldness. You know, us Spirit-filled Pentecostal people, we get so hung up on tongues. What a wonderful gift. It's for every believer. It's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. It's given to New Covenant believers. If you don't understand it, that's fine. You'll find out that here, we don't consider you a less than anything because you haven't received that. There's a lot of confusion out there. Says it's a gift and I don't have that gift. Let me tell you something. When you receive Jesus, you got the whole package. It's inside. And there is something called the baptism. It changed my life. You may not understand it. You may be afraid to release it. You may be confused by a lot of things. You notice around here, we're not beating people over the head with that sort of thing, but it is a Holy Ghost given gift, and it resides in everyone who receives that. It's like, you've heard me say it before, it's like, you know, tongues is like getting a new pair of tennis shoes. It just comes with them. It just comes with it. It's there. Whether you know it or release it or understand it, it's there. But Pentecostals get so off that, like, that's the main thing. And it turns so many people off. You know what the main thing is? You know what happened to me long before? It took me 3 months because I was taught to be scared to death of anything that smelled Pentecostal. It was almost 4 months. Before kneeling before God, I said, I want everything you have for me. And I stepped out in faith. and a prayer language began to happen. Sounded like an idiot. The Bible says a stammering lip. But it didn't sound like an idiot to God. And I found that I was releasing power in a greater way from the inside. But you know, we put so much emphasis on that, we freak people out. Have you noticed, if you've been here more than two or three services, we're not just crazy out of, sometimes I wonder if we don't need to be. But anyway, we're not crazy out. Nobody's swinging from the chandeliers and belching. I mean, just, you know, there's no, here's what the primary, if we heard it years ago, it was called the initial, and this was named by a particular group and denomination. They said that tongues was the initial evidence. That's not true. That's wrong. That's not biblical. You want to know what the initial, if there is an initial, it was boldness. Boldness to be witnesses. Something that happened in me right now. I remember kneeling on a dirt floor in the mountains of Guatemala, 17, just barely 17 years of age, saying, God, I know you're real. I want everything you've got for me. And when he hit, when that took place, I was so scared. I felt a power. And I remember all I could do was just kind of, I don't mean to be weird, but all I could do was groan. I didn't know what to say. And I was scared of this tongue thing. Listen, they're nuts. They're crazy. A lot of them are. I grant you that. But so for 4 months until I could get more information and know and examine Scripture and see and the examples throughout, the thing that happened right now is I went from being a severe, and you can talk to my parents, I went from being a severe introvert. Oh, yeah. Shy. My dad used to try to clear through to when I was 16, 17 years of age. He'd try to push girls on me. We'd go to church, look at her. Boy, isn't she new? I think he was afraid I was a little funny. I just was shy. No, I don't think he thought that. I hope he didn't think that. But I was just shy. The first thing that happened, though, was all of a sudden I didn't care. During that time, one of the things that happened is I took one of my good horses and sold it for a guitar. My brother and I had been working on songs and playing music, and all of a sudden I had a desire in me. I want people to know what's going on in me. 16 or 17, sold Principe. Stout, beautiful, little 14 and a half hand Mexican brick. And got me a guitar to go along with what we were doing. And my brother and I began boldness. Do you know what it means to be humble before the Lord, but also at the same time to be audacious in the presence of God? Bold, knowing that what Jesus did made me one with Him. When the Father looks at me, we sang it years ago, but we haven't believed it till recently. I'm not sure many people do. When He looks at me, He sees not who I used to be, but He sees Jesus. That's what a joint heir is. The old man died and was replaced by a new man that is 150% joined, made one. My check, my inheritance, has his signature on it. A joint heir, Romans tells us. How many are glad for Jesus? So when I read this little scripture right here that says, let me go back. Boy, I'm tearing my Bible all to pieces. Let's go back here. In whom we have boldness. Boldness. My brother, Steve, he's a different personality than me. Got him in a lot of trouble. My dad didn't know what to do with him. But I tell you one thing about Steve, even from the time he was little, he just had a different... He wasn't rude. He was not undisciplined. He had a very strong will. But Stevie was bold. That's what we called him. 3 years younger than me. That little old guy. I remember one time, I don't remember exactly what the deal was, but he found out. We lived for about, in a transition time during our life, my parents, we moved into a place, this was back in the early 70s when we were in California. We moved out of a more rural setting, and for a period of time we lived in what was government housing in, or not government, excuse me, military housing, formerly military housing, in Vallejo, California. So I don't remember if you remember what those, some of that old housing looked like. And he was trying to save money for something. And that little rascal, he had to have been, I don't know, 6 or 7. He found out he could go and knock on somebody's door. Dad showed him how to start the lawnmower. How many 6 and 7 year olds do you know today that can start a lawnmower? He walked right down. He came back one day. He asked Dad if he could do it. I don't think Dad took him serious. He came back with, I don't know how much money he's had. People thought he was so cute, they were shelling out the money. And he was mowing their lawns. He was bold. We'd be at a particular setting, and they'd be giving out gifts. And if you do this, man, I'd be holding back. He'd dive right in. I always secretly admired his boldness. Some people can be too bold. But that's not what we're talking about. There's a boldness given by the Spirit in which we're intrepid. We dare to step in because we know the King is my daddy. And it's not by who I was. It's not based on how well I'm getting this. It's whose I am. That's why I've dwelt so much on this, and we're going to get back in it again. When it comes to the enemy, so many people are afraid of the devil because they don't know whose they are. Not just who you are. Whose you are. You know, and I don't mean to weird people out, but some of the most demonic stuff that I've ever dealt with. You know, you hear about this stuff on TV, but you hear it in church, it makes you nervous. You don't want to go back to church because they talked about it. But you're sitting at home and watch it. On the Paranormal Channel, we had a couple, and most of you have heard this, we had a couple that had stuff flying off their wall, middle of the night. Somebody would set up and play cards on their kitchen table, walking up and down their hallways, talking in another language, right here in Chino, just a few blocks from here. When you know whose you are, you know that he is an intimidator, and his link to that kind of power is very weak. It's called fear. Boldness given to us by God. If you begin to get a revelation, and I'm not, like I said last week, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you. When we were told a number of weeks ago, my boy was married, we were going to a house where there was all kinds of demonic stuff. They warned us, maybe you don't want to come and stay at our house because it's bad. And I told them, I says, no, we're coming, it won't happen while we're there. Well, how can you be so sure of that? How can I not be if I know whose I am? When I show up, but if the devil can get that little thing of curiosity, if you're sitting around and watching paranormal junk and it's feeding your fleshly fears and inflaming your imagination with what ifs, it's hard for you to get a hold of that. But if you just stay simple and childlike and say, wait a minute, no, do you know who I am? Who was it that I was talking to? John. Tell that was awesome. After service last week. So it was last. No, it was week before last.
Yeah.
When we were touching on some of this. Go ahead.
Pastor said he was in a house and...
Who? What pastor?
Dan Moeller.
Dan Moeller. Okay.
Dan Moeller's in a house.
Tremendous man of God. Good ministry.
Good man. And this coffee cup transfers from one shelf to another. And the lady says, oh, no, did you see that? And he said, let me show you this. He stands up and he gets the coffee cup and he goes from one shelf to the other. He said, did that?
He moved it.
He moved it. He said, did that impress you? And she said, no. I said, okay, well, there are demons and things. And so why shouldn't you be impressed with a cup going from one shelf to another? He's doing that because you're impressed. You're fearful.
Yeah.
It's getting you. And so she said, yeah, that doesn't impress me. And so it didn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I can't remember the name of the great evangelist who was studying. That's awesome. Did you get that? Everybody get that? Great evangelist who was studying. Time of great. I wish I could remember his name. It'd give more credence to what I'm saying. My dad talked about him for years, read his book. He was sitting at his desk, time of great revival, a lot of things at stake, and he said, he saw a movement, and he looked up, and he said, there was an apparition of what he believed to be Satan himself just lift up into full view. As he writes in his writing, he said, my response was, oh, it's you. Oh, it's just you. Martin Luther, oh, it's just you. Went right back down to what he was doing, and it faded away. Do you know whose you are? I don't mean to sensationalize this. Don't be running around looking for devils behind every bush. Most of our problems we cause. But when you do have something like that, be bold. It's not how much you know. He's ordained strength, Psalm says, out of the mouth of babes. You stand up. All you got to know is, do you know who I am? Now stop. How many times do we have to quote John? Greater is he. You know, you get about that far and your average believer now just hears wah, 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 because they've heard it 1,000 times. I used to say this a lot years ago. Sally remembers it. She's quoted it. The word of God that becomes cliche for you loses its power for you. Now, let me clarify. It doesn't lose its power at all. But for you, never let any word of God become cliche. For every word is inspired by God. How many are glad for Jesus today? Let me go back. You know what? I promised myself I'd quit today at 11:30. Have you been blessed? We're going to just pick up right there. How many are glad for Jesus? As you stand, look at that verse one more time as you walk out of here. You find it again. Boy, I wanted to get to the prayer of Paul that he would strengthen you with might. Oh, wait, it's going to be rich. Not what I say, but what the Word of God says. And unlock some supernatural stuff in those words that maybe you've just blown by that will change your life. We get a hold of it. Ephesians, one more time as we go. Have you been blessed today? Strengthened in Jesus? Would you just close your eyes all around the room, and I'm going to speak these words over you, and I want you to just take them personal. Take them for yourself. In whom? We have boldness and access. He will never turn you away. And that, by the way, this morning is not for the believer only. That's for everybody that breathes. But in whom? This verse is for believers. But I want you to know, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, you have access through that great name as he draws you to himself, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Paul says, whereof I desire that you faint not. Now the context is here, his tribulation and what he's going through and their love for him and them fearing what could happen and all that. But let's just stop right there and bring it into the now. He says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Whose faith? Oh man, aren't you glad even that he gives to us today, that we faint not. Lift your hands all over the room today. Father, we receive your word today. Father, I thank you for an increase, a desire. There are people in here that need that boldness. the Holy Ghost. They need that revelation that they have access. Confidence. This morning, as we lift our hands together all over this room, Father, I thank you for the revelation of your word, the revelation of Jesus, in whom? Would you say it out loud one more time? In whom? Thank you today for your great love that made that possible. How we love you today and honor you. Give you thanks. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As you stand there, if you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I want to take just a few moments and give the opportunity. If you've never settled the doubt, settled the question, if there's still an if for you, a knowledge of religion, doing your best to adhere to a list of religious rules will never fill the void on the inside. At some point, we've got to trust that what Jesus did for us was enough. And this morning, if you've never made him your personal Lord and Savior, you've never taken that time and done that for yourself. I've known people that have been members of denominations and different Christian groups and churches, but nobody had ever told them. When we first started this church, there was a lady that taught Sunday school for 13 years and wept and cried with tears of joy. Cynthia, your sister. As for the first time she heard how to be saved and receive Jesus, taught Sunday school. Nobody had ever told her. I want you to know this morning, the Word of God says it this way. It's so simple. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will come into a relationship, a personal relationship with him. And that makes all the difference. He ceases to be the man upstairs, the God in heaven. He becomes a personal friend, imparts his spirit to you. And now it's walking with his help. There'll still be struggles. There'll still be trials. But now he's in us, the overcomer on the inside. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, you've never settled that doubt. Every head bowed. I want the ushers. This is just me and you. I'm not going to call you up here. We don't do that. We don't parade people. We don't count heads. We're not trying to make a show of what we're doing. So you don't need to worry about that. What I am going to do, though, is I'm going to pray with you right now. And then when we dismiss and worship, I beg of you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time and settled that question, I want to pray with you up here at the end of the service. Bless you and get a little book we have here that says, what now? Now that I've been born again, now how do I walk this out? This book will help you. So if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision for Jesus, every head bowed, everybody, I want us to cease talking, ushers, the whole gang, everybody, nobody looking around. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand up good and high where I can see you? When I acknowledge you, pull it back down. Is anybody like that at all? Say, Pastor, that's me. I've never settled that question. I would like to have this personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus. If there's anybody in here like that, would you just lift up your hand good and high where I can see it and then slip it back down? Anybody like that in here at all? Amen. I know God is dealing with hearts. We're going to give just a few moments. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's do it this way. I know something's happening with somebody. Maybe you're timid. I want us all together to say these words. Repeat after me. Everybody out loud. Everybody that's in this room. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the call of your Holy Spirit on my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sin. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and I receive the forgiveness that you freely give. Again, I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God and that you were raised from the dead for me. In your name I pray. Thank you for saving me now, for making me new, and that I will never, ever doubt this again, because your word has made it so. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Beautiful. Somebody in here prayed that. Somebody I know prayed that for the first time. Please don't leave. I'd love to talk to you just a few minutes, get one of these books to you, and let new life begin in Jesus. Have you had a blessed time this morning? Glad you came to church? Amen. I can't wait to talk about the love of God that makes all this possible next week. Altars will remain open. Maybe